Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. There are times when you will encounter a situation in which you don't know what to do because you lack the necessary knowledge, information, and understanding to determine a course of action. At some point, you need wisdom from the Holy Spirit in a particular situation. But this gift is much more than just information for solving a problem. It is God's impartation of wisdom and skill, equipping you to accomplish tasks that would normally exceed your education and experience. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today we're going to be talking about the Word of Wisdom. The Word of Wisdom. And I'm trying here to see where I want to go. There was something I was going to do. So let's just pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for helping me to deliver this message in such a way that it will be understandable, that people will be able to apply it to their personal lives, and that your name shall be glorified. I thank you right now. I have no problem in my voice today. I would have no problem with slurring my words, but I'm going to present the message today that would help people. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be talking about the gift of wisdom. When you have people baptized in the Holy Spirit, it tells us, Paul told us, that there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are supernatural gifts. And they are controlled by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives a gift. He controls it. No one can say, well, I want this gift or that gift. It's something that is given to you when you need it. When you don't need it, you're not going to have it. So let me read this to you here, what it says here on our outline here. As a believer in Christ, there will be times when you encounter a situation in which you don't know what to do because you lack the necessary knowledge, information, and understanding to determine a course of action. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8, we read this. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And today we're going to talk about the word of wisdom. Most fundamental churches, like Baptist churches, Presbyterian, Episcopalians, and so on, evangelical churches, they have been taught for the last 100 years that the Holy Spirit was active in the first century. But once the Bible had been finished, the Old Testament was already there, but once the New Testament had been finished, they say, we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore. We have the Bible. And millions of Christians have been told this. So they simply say, well, that's it. That was for the day of the apostles. It would be similar to if we go, let's say we go into a underdeveloped nation in Africa, and they have never had automobiles. And so we're going to introduce automobiles to them. And so we tell them, this is the car. You got to put some gas in. And so we teach them how to run it. But the tribal leader simply makes a decision after we got them trained. And the decision is, you can't turn on the engine. You have to have a horse or a donkey or a camel. You hook that up to the car. You had a window rolled down, and you steer the car, and you're simply having the animals, the horses, the donkeys, to move the car. Now, after they have done that for 100 years, people are going to simply say this, well, that's the way it is. You know, we sit in a nice car and so on, but, you know, we are not supposed to turn on the engine. That's a no-no. So for 100 years, they are sitting in their cars, drawn by horses, camels, and donkeys. That's the way the church is today. Somebody told the man, but don't turn on the engine. Now, if I would go into that nation after 100 years, and I would say, can I sit down in this car, and I turn the key on, and the engine comes live, and they're going to say, what happened? Well, there's an engine here, and it's made to propel the car. But we got horses. We don't need it anymore. We got horses. Take away the horses. Pile in the cars, few of you, and I will show you how nice it is to have an engine. And we will cruise up for the hill, cruise down. We take the car up to 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. And the people there said, wow, power. Yes, it's available. But you got to turn the key. If you don't turn on the engine, it's useless. The Holy Spirit wants to fill each one of us. He wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I was in the Southern Baptist Church for a number of years in Salt Lake City. And I remember a discussion I had one day with a deacon. We were going someplace shopping for some things. And I said, we were talking about healing. And we said, well, we've never seen any healing. And we came to the conclusion that probably someplace on the earth, somebody's being healed by God. But we sure don't know. We have never seen it. So I come to the seminary and starting out there. And I meet somebody and it said, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, what is that? I've been baptized in water by immersion, but what is the Holy Spirit baptism? Well, I was introduced to it. I went to some meetings, and somebody had turned on the engine, and I saw all kind of miracles happening. And I said, wow, where have I been? And so I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that made a vast difference in my personal life. As a pastor, I am confronted with situations in which people seek advice about what they should do. Sometimes I rely on my past experiences, but there are many instances when it comes up empty, and one or two things happen at that moment. Number one is, the Holy Spirit tells me what to do, and I act upon it. Or number two, I tell the person, I need time to pray, and seek the Lord about the matter. Now, a lot of people say, I want to pray about that. Do they really pray about it? No. It's a cop-out, simply saying, I don't want to talk about it because I don't know what I'm doing. But we can pray and ask God what to do. And He will show us. So basically, I have miracles, supernatural miracles, on a daily basis. They're small, might not be very large, but I get information, I get directions, what to do and what not to do. Let me give this example. This has happened not just one time, but several times. We had a person here a few months ago that went through deliverance. And the person that walked around and said, I'm a Christian. And I said, okay, can you tell me how you got saved? Well, the guy told me this. He was out walking around someplace, and he ran into this guy that said, do you want to sign up for Jesus? And the man said, yeah. So he got some kind of a ledger, whatever it was, and he signed his name there, and the guy said, you're saved now. Well, there was no repentance, there was no prayer. They were not asking Jesus to come into their heart. There was no repentance of sins. It was just an action. This takes place in many churches when, you know, they don't want to embarrass people. So they say, well, we're not going to ask you to come forward, you know, but just if you want to receive Christ, if you want this or that, you know, just raise your hand and, you know, God will see you. So I realized I didn't say anything to that man that day because for 25, 30 years, he had walked around and said, I'm a Christian. And the Holy Spirit just wouldn't let me alone and simply said, that man is not saved. I don't know him. So you take a chance to offend somebody and saying, well, if you're not a Christian. So I simply said, well, let's study some scriptures. So we went through some scriptures, and I said, now, have you done this? Not really. I said, that's right, because you are not born again. When the man was humble, he said, let's settle it now. So he got born at that particular time, and he got saved. When I do that, I risk that people are getting angry at me. But the most horrible thing is, if you have people that you are working with, and you talk to them and so on, pray with them, and it ends up that they never were saved, and when they died, Jesus says, I never knew you. Go to hell. That would be terrible. So, this is one way that the Holy Spirit has prompted me many times to simply have discernment. If this person is saved, is not saved, at other times they have other problems. And I can know that through the Holy Spirit. Back on the outline here now. I've been 56 years in the ministry, and I can't believe the years have gone very fast. And I have encountered people who could not forgive people for past hurts. Even though the offender was dead, it was as they had built a house in the mind of the afflicted person. The victim hosted them at every meal, and even their sleep was interrupted by the wrongdoer. This is not the abundant life promised by Jesus, but one that is ravaged by the devil. In John 10:10, Jesus said this, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Forgiveness is probably one of the most common stubborn sins that we Christians are dealing with. It's like a chronic disease, like arthritis. You have arthritis, and you got pain in the joints, and you tried this, tried that, you just can't get away from it. Unforgiveness is like arthritis. I wrote here about this guy Larry, and I can't remember now who this guy was. I don't know where I got this story from. Must have got it from my biography. So I counseled a man whom I recall Larry many years ago that could not forgive the enemy that had hurt him greatly. I told him to write down the past and the present grievances. And when we met the next day in my office, I read through the injuries and told Larry that we were going to have a funeral. I took him to an area outside the city, went out to the outside the city, and I had a shovel with me, so we dug a hole in the ground. I'd Larry to put the papers with the grievance in the hole, and then I led him in a prayer to forgive and release his enemies. Then I made him declare that the injuries were in the grave to rot. Then we covered the hole, and I had him to declare, "All my enemies are now dead and buried. I am not going to dig them up again. I'm free of them." And Larry got set free. So where did I get the thought of having a funeral? I mean, they never taught that to me in Sunday school. No, I mean in the seminary. I didn't learn in Sunday school either. So I haven't done it that often. So some time ago, not too long ago, I had a person in the ministry that simply could not let go. And I prayed to God, and I said, "God, what do I do? How can I help this person?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Have a funeral." Okay. So I had a person come to where we are in the ministry. And I asked to do the same thing, write down everything that had been done. So we got about 4, 5, 6 pages full of stuff. So I said, "Now, okay, when we got that, I said, I'm going to get a shovel. And we are on the property here. So we're going to go to the end of the property. We have some soft ground at that time. And I said, you're going to dig a hole." So the person dug a hole. I said, "Now, hole is there. Take your papers now. Take all your grievances. Roll it up." And the person, "No, I would have ripped them up." I said, "That's fine. Put them in a hole. Cover it up." We had a little prayer. I said, "Now, those people that have been hounding you are dead. They're rotting in here." It worked. So that person got relief. There are many other times when God gives me understanding what to do that I don't know myself. And the same gift is available to you. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will simply give you what you need when you need it. I want to read something here to you from, this is a bonus scripture. We're going to go to Corinthians. And let me find this here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse number 1 here. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spirit gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away on these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give unto you understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diverses of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diverses of operation, but the same, but it is the same God which works all in all. And then if we drop down here, in this here, we read this here, in verse number 11. But all these works that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You never control the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reserves the right to control them. You will get the gift operating when needed. There's a lot of people that like to control them because they want to make money on it. So the Holy Spirit is the one that does control. Let's go back now to the outline here. We're going to talk about Moses. Jesus instructed Moses to manufacture a tabernacle, a tent-like portable temple, while they wandered around in the wilderness. The Son of God went so far as to tell Moses the color of the different canvases, the kind of stitches to employ, and what kind of vessels will be in this portable temple. In heaven, there is a temple. And that temple now had a sacrifice once. That's when Jesus came back after his resurrection, presented his blood, and was accepted. It was a one-time service. God the Father simply wanted a portable temple. Think about this now. We're talking about 2,000 years before Christ. And it was not very large, but it was fairly large tent. And it had you had the inner, the outer court, or the inner court, and you had the outer one, you have an altar, and then you had a canvas around and so on. And it was made portable so that they could fold it up, they could carry it, set it up the next time they were needing it as they moved around. But if you have time, go back and read how God's told Moses. He says, now, these are the stitches I want on the tent. This is the color I want. He simply said, I want you to do this to the details I give you. Precisely. Well, you can imagine Moses simply saying, okay, I don't know how to do it. Moses was not a craftsman. He had been trained as a prince of Egypt on how to rule a nation, conduct military campaigns, deal with crime, and so on. Those were the qualities needed as a leader of the Israelites. However, Jesus said he would impart talent and knowledge into select men that would serve as craftsmen for the project. In the outline here, we have from Exodus chapter 35, verses 30 and 35. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah. And he had filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting a stone to set up, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he has put in his heart that he might teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. Catch this here now. Them has he filled with a wisdom of heart. Heart is soul. Them has he filled with wisdom of the soul, to work all manner of work, of the engraver, of the cunning workman, the embroiderer, in blue, and in purple, in scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Exodus 35, 30 through 35. So Jesus spoke to Moses and said, okay, I know that you don't know how to make this tent, this tabernacle, and you don't have anyone that knows it. Because this is what I wrote. And there's a mistake we got in the outline here. These men had not, put in a not there, these men had not attended a trade school. They had been born slaves in Egypt, knew what it takes to make bricks. They were totally uneducated except in making bricks from straw and mud. Can God do it? He did. So these men were filled with the knowledge, the wisdom of God. And suddenly, in their hands, they could do all kind of different things. Every one of us got talents. And they are sitting in our soul. They're sitting in our soul brain. And there are some people that have been given the gifts of doing oil paintings. And we marvel at their work and say, how beautiful. I can paint the wall, I can paint the fence, but I cannot paint an oil painting. I don't have that gift. There are other people that are gifted with music. They can sit down at the piano without any lessons and you start playing, and beautiful. That's a gift. It's all kind of different things. Working in wood, in metal, computers, gifts. God has laid down wisdom in us. Most people never use the wisdom that God has put down. They never use the gifts. We simply told you're no good. You cannot do it. What do you think? Who do you think you are? Sit down. Shut up. Don't make it in waves. But each one of us have gifts that have been put down into our souls. And God is simply saying, you know, I want to activate them. We're not getting into the same gift. Because if everybody was a carpenter, you know, we couldn't have any plumbing. And if everybody was a plumber and a carpenter, we did electricians. So this is what I wrote here. The Holy Spirit downloaded a computer program into their minds and then programmed their heart hands to make the tools for the construction of the tabernacle items. The Holy Spirit supernaturally made them into skilled craftsmen who were able to produce beautiful things. That tabernacle, think about a tent now, lasted for about 450 years. They took it up, they set it up, they took it down, they did it for 40 years in the wilderness. And then it sat in Israel for another almost 400 years. That's a quality. On the canvas, on all the things, it was quality work. and got a quality material that were given to them. Where do you get canvas in the wilderness? It was given supernatural. So what I want to share with you is this. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit and then ask God to activate the gifts that he wants in your life. Now I wrote this. Gutenberg, you probably heard that name, most of you have. I believe the Holy Spirit gave Johannes Gutenberg the blueprint for a printing press in 1440. Up to 1440, there were no books. There were only scrolls. Everybody had a scroll. Everything was handwritten. And God simply said this, we're going to have the Bible in the hands of people. Up to 1500, the Bible did not exist. You had scrolls. So God moved upon this German guy, and he started tinkering. He got the blueprint downloaded by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the guy was saved or not. But the Holy Spirit can work with anyone. He can work with a donkey. When the prophet Balaam was not obeying, God opened the mouth of the donkey and he spoke to him and said, you know, hey, prophet, it's an angel standing there with a sword to kill you. I've been trying not to do that. I've tried to save you and you beat me. So God can use anyone, anytime. So in 1440, he started, and notice this now, that it was in 1522 he started, and they started, Martin Luther was finished in 1534, so almost about 90 years, some odd years, close to 100. So God simply moved 100 years early and said, I want you to do this. And he did one model and another model. And finally, after so many tries, he had a press that worked. And God then told Martin Luther, translate the Bible into German. Because before, people did not have the Bible in their language. And he did. He moved on Martin Luther. He moved on Gutenberg 100 years earlier. And guess what? We had the Bible. It was supernatural. The gift of wisdom is available for all believers in Christ who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe that there is a need to fabricate something that will benefit the kingdom of God. Any man or woman can be shown by the Holy Spirit how to design it, how to build it, and how to use it. The problem is that most Christians are turkeys. They simply walk around on the ground, eat the scrap and whatever is given them. And they are looking up at the eagles, and I said, well, that would be nice if I could fly, but I'm a turkey. And most Christians are turkeys. You don't have a vision. You can fly. You can fly high. The sky is the limit. But somebody told you the Holy Spirit is not here anymore. The gifts are not here. You can't start the engine. Get a camel, get a donkey to pull yourself. And there we are, walking in a turkey yard, waiting for Thanksgiving. If you need wisdom to navigate in life, the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Nothing is impossible for the Holy Spirit. In Luke 1:37, we read this. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, I want to tell you a story from this ministry. We had our first website designed in 1997 by a friend of mine up in Michigan. And then he passed away, so we had the website and on the computer. So I had Lois Armacher. She was my secretary at that time for about 20 years. And she took over, and she had never run a website, but she was able to do certain things, and we had a very crude website. Then came Charles Terrell around about 20 years ago, and Charles said, well, so he learned how to do a little bit on it. So he perfected it a little bit better, and he moved it up to another scale. And so we had that for 20 years more. And then we were talking about we need a new website. We need to upgrade it. We need to get on it with different. There was new stuff that come out. The program we had in 1900 and 2000 were old. And so it was a guy in Texas that had been listening to us. We had to come up here, talk to him. He helped out with a lightning here in the chapel. And he said, I'm a professional web designer. I said, wow. And you're a Christian? Yeah. I said, that's what we need, a professional web designer. So we invested about $6,000-$7,000 in him. And you know how much we got for that? Zero. He never finished. He just took our money, and then he just disappeared. All right. So I said, okay, that's a bummer. But God was not finished. God spoke to a man by the name of David that lives here in Northern California. He's an electrician, and he's working for Union. He's working on big jobs and so on. He has never done a website. And he contacted me one day and said, God has spoken to me that I'm going to build a website for EAEC. And I thought, well, the guy in Texas, you know, he stood me up. So I knew David personally. So I said, well, give it a try. So he worked on it for about maybe 2 or 3 years. And if you haven't seen that website, write this down. Here is the address to that website. RLJC. Stands for Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. RLJC-EAEC.org. And you come to a brand new website. So what did he do? God called him. God gave him the wisdom. He talked to people around him and so on. But he did what the guy in Texas could have done easily. This guy, an electrician, working on construction, designed a beautiful website. Check it out this afternoon. And he not only didn't charge us for it, he paid for most of it himself. He put in thousands of dollars worth of his own money to get this site up. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be on Caravan to Midnight. I know that this is old stuff by the time you hear this message, maybe 5 years from now. But this is the story. It goes like this. So I'm teaching right now on my new book, The World to Be. So I'm doing my second segment tomorrow night. So I had about 15, 16 pages. So I shipped them off to him, I said, hey, David, can you put this up on a website so that when I do the program on the radio Monday, I can direct people to go to the website, they can get my notes. He said, I'll do it over the weekend. I saw it last night. I took one look. Wow. Beautiful layout. Bottom. Three sermons I have preached similar to what I'm talking about. You click on them and you get to the sermons. And I said, this is absolutely fantastic. The reason I'm sharing that with you is that this man, David, had no experience in building websites. He educated himself, but the Holy Spirit gave him the talent to do, know the program, how to do it, how to do links, how to do it. There's a lot of work in that. A lot of work. So I wanted to simply say, this is what can be done. Now, I didn't ask David to do it. God spoke to him and said, I want you to do it, and he came to us. I want you to take an inventory of your life. See, most of us get stuck with our soul. That's me, inside. And the soul has a life of its own. You have a spirit that's born of God, and we're supposed to work with the spirit, but the soul takes over, has this sinful nature. And the soul trips us up. It is the fun to forgive. It has grudges. It has this, I can't get this, that, and so on. And it causes sickness. It causes all kind of problems. So very few people can fly high because they're always thinking about what I don't have. Instead of thinking what I can have, we think about what I don't have. We think about the time that is wasted. We think about this. We live in the past. I heard Bill Gates say this a few weeks ago on one of his videos. Most people live in the past and the future. But very few people live in the now. Catch that. Most people live in the past. This happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me. I am unhappy, happy, happy, unhappy. I'm going to look at the future. Well, someday I'm going to have a new car. Someday I'm going to do this. Someday I'm going to do this. But what about today? Today is a day. We don't, the past is gone. Tomorrow we might have. But today is the day we have. Today we are in the chapel here. This is the moment we have. We can enjoy ourselves. We can really excel and do things and praise God. Or we can make a choice and live in the past. Or we can say, well, in the future, sometime it will be better. So we need to simply come to this place. God, what do you want me to do? We have talents. Every one of us has talents. And we can do things. But our soul drags us down. It's like you have an anchor. You remember the old days when you have prisoners and they have shackled them to the leg and you have a big ball of iron and they go like this, try to move? That's how most people live. The past is that ball. Pull you back. Pull you back. Can't get over it. So what we need to do is, we need to let things go. We just read this here in the sermon here. We had this on page number 2. With God, all things are possible. So the question is, what are you going to do? I have it actually in the last one. For with God nothing shall be impossible. This chapel we have right now used to be my old library. I had tables here. I had teaching in here. I had several sets of tables. And I still got books behind the ark here. And one day, we lost our building in the Sacramento area. We couldn't pay the rent. It shut down. And I was really, what do you call it, depressed. So Peter, my brother, Charles, my nephew, and a few others made a decision. And they simply said, we're going to make this library to a studio. And we did. We've been in now since 2013. Broadcasting. So, here's what I want you to know and think about. Are you a turkey? Or are you an eagle? If you're a turkey, you have the capacity to become an eagle. Do you want to become an eagle? Or do you want to live in the past? We need to cut loose and move into today. And then tomorrow, we might have tomorrow. There are no inventions in this world. When somebody said they invented a telegraph, they invented a telephone, they invented this or that, that's a lie. They discovered what God has created. Nails, screws, screwdriver, welding, name a few things. Where did they come from? God had designed that before the foundation of the world. And man is discovering what God has created. He will give us wisdom. You can be given wisdom and discover new things. You can improve things. You can do a lot of things. It's there for us. There are no inventions. We are discovering what God has created. Television existed before the foundation of the world. Electricity has always been on this earth. We just didn't know it. Airplanes, spaceships, rockets have always existed. We're just discovering them. Computers, they had them before the foundation of the world. We're just discovering what God has done. So I want to challenge you here today that you simply will think about this. If God could get wisdom to bricklayers that work with mud and straw, what can God do with me? I'm a little bit more advanced than a bricklayer. Start thinking of flying high. Start dreaming. Get out of the past. Think about it. Today is what I have. And tomorrow is going to be great. We're going to continue to look at the gifts as we continue here this series. We're going to go through all the 9 gifts. And I'm just praising God that somebody in 1969 asked me a stupid question. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, what is that? And the person didn't blow me off, but he simply said, well, let me tell you. And that's when I took off. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, start asking for it. Contact us. Call us. Have you ever ministered to you? We'll tell you more about it. but you can get it right there where you are. The Holy Spirit's everywhere, all the time. So you're not saved, and you listen to me today, and you says, well, it sounds pretty good to be a Christian. It is good to be a Christian. So how do you become a Christian? Step one is this. Acknowledge you're a sinner. And that's easy because you know that you're a sinner. You do bad stuff. We all do. Then confess that you believe that God is, that Jesus is his son, that Jesus died on the cross, rose on the third day, and on the cross he paid for your sins and my sins. And once you got that confessed, then simply say, God, I'm sorry for my sins. I repent. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Come in into my life and save me. And Jesus will. When we finish here, there'll be three crosses coming up on the screen where you are watching right now. And you will see, you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying this, my friend. And he will lead you, will take 10 minutes of your time, show you scriptures, pray with you to make sure that you are saved today. And if you do that, would you call us, contact us? I'd like to rejoice with you to know that you have been born again. And to those of you that are Christians, some of you are walking in your gifts. I know that many of you are. So think about it this way. I'm here today, but actually I can get up a little bit further. I can get up. Remember this. Every day that you pray, seek the Lord, push a little bit more, the higher you will fly. Never get satisfied with what you did yesterday. It's good today. Tomorrow, I want to fly higher. I don't want to live in yesterday. I want to fly higher tomorrow. And you can fly higher and higher. There's so many exciting things. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, God will send people to you. Things will happen. You're moving here. You're doing this and that. And it just rolls on. You're flying like an eagle. Just seek that out. If you want prayer, so contact us. I'd be glad to talk to anyone if they contact us. But most of all, talk to the Lord today and say, dear God, help me to go higher and higher and higher. God bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've taught us here today, Lord God, about your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you that we're able to excel in our lives through you, Lord Jesus, and that you help us and you guide us and direct us. And Lord God, we just thank you for all that you're doing, how you're helping us, guiding us and directing us, Lord. And we just give you the praise and honor and glory for our lives and for everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, If you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the sixth part in the series, A Study on the Holy Spirit, and was entitled, The Word of Wisdom. There are times when you will encounter a situation in which you don't know what to do because you lack the necessary knowledge, information, and understanding to determine a course of action. Sometimes you'll need the Holy Spirit's wisdom for the situation you're facing.
But this gift is much more than just information for solving a problem. It's like receiving a supernatural download of wisdom and ability, allowing you to accomplish projects you'd never be able to do on your own because you lack the education and experience. The gift of wisdom is available for all believers in Christ who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Whenever you need wisdom to face life's challenges, the Holy Spirit will guide you. Operating in this gift is exciting because it means you are in the center of God's will, handpicked for a special assignment, and He is choosing to use you for something particular. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 2021. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.